and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am not these bubblegum dudes you're talking to.
Pedro Fernandez.
He will be mine in round nine, and if he makes me sore, I'll cut it to four.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Eminent, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37 make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove boxing champion, and I won some awards for my boxing writing. So supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? You might know more. So I will open up the toll-free, as I do, at the top of each hour just for you. If you want to impart, you can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. In May of 1984, I was at the Western Olympic Trials in Colorado Springs, and sitting across from me was Evander Holyfield. That's where I first time I met him. He said, call me V. Bottom line is, I'll talk about V in depth. Of course, 58 years old, got lit up like a White House Christmas tree last night. Fought a guy that, you know, was a little bit younger than him, but a martial artist, a guy that could fight, no doubt about that. Of course, Vitor Belfort, not a joke, Vitor Belfort took out Evander Holyfield in one round. Holyfield still screaming, oh, they stopped the fight too soon. Were you supposed to wait for you to be dead or knocked out or like laying flat before they stopped the fight? The bottom line is, Holyfield went out. Like most guys go out when they're old, losing. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That's 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, here in the studio, 415-275-1613. Well, guess what? Hour number two, we will bring in Trainer of the Year. I always call him Trainer because he's my guy. I'm talking about Primetime Eddie Crawford from San Mateo, California. B Street Boxing in the house. Hour number two. More of Ring Talk and WBC TV after the break. At least Roberto Duran didn't go out on his looking like Evander Holyfield did last night or Muhammad Ali, this and that. The bottom line is, you know, a lot of guys go out on their feet. A lot of guys go out on their back. Holyfield sort of went out on his ass. What I'm trying to say is he made an ass of himself. And guess what? 58 years old, says he's always training. Well, guess what? He ain't been sparring in a long time because the basic jab, for those of you watching on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, when you throw a jab, you want to be in the L stance, as I'm looking at here at the camera, okay? And when you shoot the jab out, you want to have your left shoulder up to the point where it's protecting you. See how my shoulder's up here? In other words, if you throw a right hand at me, the shoulder's going to protect that right hand from coming, okay? But not Evander Holyfield. Holyfield was throwing jabs out here like this and bringing them back low and this and that. And, I mean, the other guy wasn't no boxing genius. We're talking about Vitor Belfort, of course, the former MMA champion on 205 pounds, 42 years old. I mean, he wasn't Julio Cesar Chavez or some great boxer anyway, but he was left-handed, and like Hector says, he was taught the basics. And that's like, you know, the basics, these Jake Paul guys, these YouTube guys, that everybody's freaking out about, making all kinds of noise about because these guys are frauds or this and that. No, no. They've been taught the basic minimums of boxing. And it's enough to get by at their levels. Same thing with Belfort last night. Belfort, basically a left-hander, was going to use his right jab, and a left-hander means you have to go with the right jab first. And it was an orthodox fighter like Holyfield jabs with the left hand, but a southpaw fighter jabs with the right hand. Okay? So it's opposite. That's the way they call him a southpaw because their jab is to the south, allegedly, or their paw is to the south. But bottom line is, at the end of the day, that left-handed stance would have tore Oscar De La Hoya up. In fact, that's why Oscar, you heard the boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, said yesterday, you know, that Oscar pulled out of that fight because Vitor Belfort was going to kill him. And there was no doubt in my mind that was going to happen. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was going to weigh about 190 pounds, 195 pounds, somewhere around there, okay? And De La Hoya was going to weigh about 170, and this guy was going to lean on De La Hoya and kick his ass. I mean, if Oscar thinks that he got turned out before in those fishnets and that kind of good stuff, he would have really got turned out last night. I mean, he would have really got turned out in the ring. Yeah, I know he's been turned down on camera before, but he would have got turned out in the ring. So at the end of the day, it was the luckiest thing in the world for Oscar De La Hoya to fake COVID and to go into the hospital. And I believe he faked it. I believe the whole thing was a farce. In fact, you know, nobody, my friends that have had COVID, and I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, hour number two maybe, but my friends that have COVID said the last thing you're going to want to do is shoot videos. Here I am in the hospital, you know. Oh, Oscar Della snorting a couple things, but the bottom line is I'm in the hospital. I've got COVID, so I can't fight Vitor Belfort. Oh, and by the way, I got raped. Did I tell you I got raped when I was 16? Well, when you say you got raped when you were 16, you're thinking that maybe some dude did it to him. Well, it wasn't a dude. It was a girl. Oh, God. God forbid. Put this woman in jail right now. Oscar, you want her in jail, right? Yeah, I mean, everybody does. She abused him. There's no doubt about it. But can you imagine that? That he was moaning about that? That he complained about it? Like it marred his life? De La Hoya, come on. You have some fine girl at the age of 13 telling me it's time? And I'm going, I don't know. You know what time it is, man. Were you thinking, what was Oscar thinking about it afterwards? I don't know. But then, of course, you know, he got hooked up with before Millie, there was 150 girls in that 1 year, circa 1996 or something like that, 1997, when he got in that trouble down there in Cancun, Mexico. And, of course, they deposed him. They deposed his lawyer. His lawyer came up with a statement during interrogatory and said, Oscar doesn't remember the girl because he's had sex with over 150 girls since then. Oh, what is this? Oscar said, seriously. So anyway, he gets married to Millie. Oscar does. I can marry to Millie. Millie's a nice lady. I interviewed her in Las Vegas. Like Fabio Flores, if you're listening, you got those tapes up there in Sacramento. You got to give me the Millie tapes. But the bottom line is she's a nice lady. She had a couple of his kids. Of course, Millie and him got hooked up at the Latin Grammys. Of course, he was going out with this Miss Indiana girl or some Miss something like that. He was living with her. I can't remember what her name was. He was living with her. And then she turned on the Latin Grammys. Oscar says, I got to go to the Latin Grammys tonight, baby. Oh, you understand? She goes, yeah, I understand. Okay, go on. So he hooks up in with Millie at the Latin Grammys. He's making out with Millie at the Latin Grammys. That's how his old lady found out that he wasn't his old lady and she wasn't his old lady no more. So anyway, so Oscar gets married to Millie, has a couple of kids, and then he gets freaky. And I think freaky is associated with cocaine. No, really? Anyway, bottom line is, you know, he's doing this coke and, you know, going a little nutty and this and that. And then before you know it, these pictures came out on the internet. And actually, they were sent to me before they got to DMZ or the TMZ people. I still call them DMZ for some reason. But the TMZ people, before it got to them, I got the pictures of Oscar in the fishnets and semi-nude and wearing a bra and all that kind of good stuff, you know. So I'm being the astute journalist that I am, I realized I couldn't put that out at ringtalk.com. That was the website at the time. I couldn't put that out not knowing for sure. I mean, so I took a magnifying glass and I looked over the pictures and then, you know, looked for any distortions, this and that. Maybe it was Photoshopped or something like that. And every picture I looked at, I couldn't find one thing like where Oscar's head was glued on somebody's body. It just wasn't happening. So I went to Emmanuel Stewart, the late Goldfather from the Kronk Gym in Detroit. Of course, he trained Oscar De La Hoya for a couple of years. So I said to him, Emmanuel, is this Oscar? And he said, let me call you back. So he didn't want to talk about it. So, you know, come on. I called him a couple of times. And he's busy, this and that. The bottom line is he's ducking me. I want to talk. As a secretary. I said, put Emmanuel on the phone. She said, okay. I said, so Emmanuel, is that him? And she him and all. He goes, yeah, that's him. That's his body, without a doubt. So Oscar did this drag queen type of thing with this Russian hooker in these various hotel rooms across the country in Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia was one, New York City was another, and I think Miami as well. Because every time that he came to town or they met in town, she said that Oscar told her to get him a kit. Now, if I bought a kit for the ladies in my room right now, that would be like something semi-nasty and naughty from Victoria's Secrets or something like that. But bottom line is, a kit means lingerie. So Oscar was getting lingerie. Only thing was, the lingerie was for him. It wasn't for her. In other words, I wouldn't be buying lingerie for me. I'd be buying it for somebody else. Not for me, okay? But Oscar was wearing the lingerie. So Oscar does this lingerie thing, and I'm saying to myself, why would a dude do that? Wear a wig and dress up like a girl and the makeup and that kind of good stuff and wear a lipstick and this? He's on cocaine! That's the only reason why anybody would humiliate themselves to that level. You gotta be kidding me. You've gotta be on drugs to do something like that. I mean, that is like off the wall. But what got a little creepier about his relationship with that Russian hooker was she talked about things like butt plugs and things like that. I said to myself, I don't want to hear no more. Bottom line is, Oscar's a bit of a freak, of course. And now I'm told through the grapevine, Grapevine sitting in this room, that he is not with Millie anymore. And, of course, he's got a new girl, and we wish him the very best of luck. But the bottom line is, you know, he faked this fight, so he faked getting out of this fight so he didn't get killed. And if Holyfield stepped in on like on a week's notice, 2 weeks' notice, and they put this fight on pay-per-view, and for you suckers that paid $49.95 last night, I'm sorry. I'm not going to – you're a boxing fan maybe, and you wanted to watch Evander Holyfield or something like that. Okay, I see the novelty in it, okay, but you're a mark. You've been played. I mean, like Dana White punks out those people week after week sometimes with those pay-per-views, you know, gets you to buy pay-per-views that not really worth pay-per-view, all right? Same thing last night. If you bought that card last night, I mean, David Haye is a former two-division champion. I think he was a light heavyweight and a heavyweight title or a cruiserweight and a heavyweight, something like that. He held two WB titles, I think, from the UK. Okay, not a bad fighter, but past his peak, no doubt about that. So he engages in a 8-round fight last night on that card with his best friend. I mean, imagine that. You got a fight. You're fighting a guy. You're getting paid. And it's your best friend. You going to hurt your best friend? Is your best friend going to hurt you? Come on. That's the real setup. So for all you people out that bought that Barnum and Bailey boxing last night, hey, man, you brought that stuff on yourselves. In other words, do you feel burned? Do you feel used? Do you feel abused? Because if you don't, you should, without a doubt. Evander Holyfield, of course, 58 years old. Hopefully he realizes that referee saved his life. I mean, without a doubt, had that referee not stepped in, Evander would have been really, really tore up. I mean, at one point in time, he threw a punch and his feet came off the ground. What the hell? Come on, man. I could never look that bad. If I was 90, I couldn't look that bad. If I got Larry Murphy in shape at 90, 91, he might have better form than Evander Holyfield. That's how bad Evander Holyfield was last night. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. WBC TV. Tower of Power to the Breaking. Guess what? They've got another new lead singer. It's like lead singer number 19.
The best things in life are free.
The things you want to be having.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm just ready to get it on and crush this guy's skull.
This room that really gives a rat's about candlelight dinners. Women seem to think we like them, but you know, it's never our idea. I mean, does he have them with his friends when you're not around? Absolutely not. During the Super Bowl, okay, Bob, you get the Doritos, I'll get the candles. First down, yes! You make a candlelight dinner for a guy, believe me, he's sitting there squirming in his chair. I can't see the goddamn potato, this sucks. The hell did she make? What is this, a turd, a piece of corn? Honey, at least put on the TV, get some light over here. So romantic. It's right up there with taking a bath or a shower together. Cannot tell you how many times I'll come home at night, the wife will have a little bath made. She doesn't get it. She'll have candles in the bathroom like some kind of voodoo sacrifice. What are you doing?
Oh, I made us a bath.
You made us a bath. You ever see me take a bath? No. I don't take a bath. I can't even get my own fat butt in the tub without my feet halfway up the wall. We've tried this before. It doesn't work. I always get the side with the faucet in my back. Ow! Yeah, honey, I'd love to get a hard-on. There doesn't seem to be any room. Taking a shower together. That really sucks, fellas. See, women like that because they're the ones under the hot water. We're standing there like a moron with a shriveled up f***ing soap on our face. This is terrific, honey. I got no penis. I got shampoo in my eyes. Let me know when there's no more hot water. It'll be my turn. I'll be right over here. I'm cold. I'm naked. My f*** looks like a stack of buttons.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
What's your rush, though, buddy? What do you say we slip in the back seat and you make a man out of me?
We say I smack you around for a while.
Can't we do both?
The Pitbull of comedy, Mr. Bobby Slayton, he and I met in 1981, of course, when he took place to part of the San Francisco Comedy Competition. He lived out here for like 15 or 20 years. Now he's living in L.A. His wife died a couple years ago. What's sort of cold about that was that he always talked about his wife, wanting his wife to die. I wish my wife would die. I wish my wife would die. I mean, and he was joking, you know, talking about, you know, insurance, and she was nagging this. Anyway, bottom line is, they went to Mexico, and she got hit by a car down there in Mexico, and she got sepsis, and she died down there. So the bottom line is Bobby was freaked out. So I saw Bobby at the Punchline, I guess about 4 or 5 months. This happened about two or three years ago. So I'm at the Punchline about 4 or 5 months later, and I see Bobby. Bobby's not the same. Bobby looked like he was back on Columbian Dust. Of course, he was a big Columbian Dust guy back in the day. There's no doubt about it, in the early 80s through the 80s. But I thought he sort of cleaned up his act. But he sort of looked like he went back in time when I saw him after his wife departed. So I wish him the very best. Of course, Punchline is now rocking and rolling. Comedy's back here in the city, and I hope he'll be going to some comedy shows real soon. Friday night. Coming to us from Tucson, Arizona, the WBC 130-pound champion, of course, Oscar Valdez, a two-time Mexican Olympian, now 30-0, with a 12-round unanimous nod over a young man by the name of Robinson Canseco. For Canseco, the 2016 Olympic gold medalist from Brazil, came in with a record of 18-0 with only 8 whacks. But the bottom line is, he boxed magnificently. I mean, I thought he was doing real well. And, you know, some people say maybe he might have been penalized for showboating. Well, how can you showboat? How can you get penalized for showboating if you're whooping on somebody for 2 minutes in the round and then you showboat the last minute of the round? I mean, come on, man. You still won 2 minutes in the round. You can't take the round away from me because I clowned around for the last minute. Although that might have been the case as far as Robinson was concerned. But he sort of played into the judges' hands by letting them, by running at times instead of trying to close the show. He got tired about the sixth or seventh round, and he started to wear. And, of course, the champion, of course, originally from Mexico, Nogales, Mexico, I believe, but he was raised in Tucson, Arizona. Oscar Valdez, a two-time Olympian. He came back. He started a rally, but he didn't rally with any super – I mean, there wasn't anything you could go back, ooh, let me look at those highlights. And there wasn't really too many – Oscar Valdez highlights. And at the end of the night, Mr. Robinson Canseco outlanded him by about 80 punches, according to the punch count people. And, you know, it might have been an injustice for him not to get the decision or at least get a draw, because if he won the first 4 rounds, it's sort of like the Marvin Hagler, Ray Leonard, theology that I have, okay? In that if you win the first 4 rounds, all you have to do is what I told Marvin Hagler, is steal 3 rounds after that. From round 5 to round 12, you steal 3 rounds, you eke out the decision. The other guy might be smoking you in some of the rounds. You mean not 10-8 rounds, but like beating you clearly in some of them rounds, right? Let him win the rounds. Bottom line is, if I won 7 rounds and you won 5 rounds, guess what? I win the fight. Now, I'm not trying to say that Oscar Valdez deserved to have that decision the other night. It was close. It was 115-112. It probably could have went other way. And one judge, Stephen Blay, I remember his name right off the top of my head, from Denver, Colorado, 63 years old. I was looking him up on one of my private investigator forums yesterday, where exactly he lived. He lives in Denver, Colorado. This guy should be arrested for impersonating a judge. Good Lord, man, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? The WBC put you in a primetime spot. They did. They put you in a primetime spot, ESPN Plus, all around the world. Of course, all blanket in the USA. Mexico's watching. Everybody's watching. And you put in a performance like that. I'll get to the referee in a little bit. But you put in a performance like that? Come on, man. Talking Homer? Oh, my God. 117-110, I believe, was his final score. Or, yeah, 117-110. Yeah. In other words, he only gave him 3 rounds. He gave the Brazilian 3 rounds. He won the first 4 rounds. What were you looking at the first 4 rounds if you only gave him 3 rounds? Of course, then the referee, I think his name was Tony Trano, another guy that should be arrested for impersonating an official. Man, the WBC was looking bad. And they are my sponsors, and they know they look bad in this one. They know they look bad in it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I talked with some WBC officials, and they were like, wincing. They knew that this wasn't a good performance by the WBC officials, without a doubt. I'm talking about the referee. I think his name was Tony Zane or Tony Trainer or something like that. He took a point away from the Brazilian for tapping Oscar on the back of the head. And Oscar clipped him a couple times. There's a big difference between a tap and a clip. And he got clipped a few times, but he never called him for that. He warned Oscar Valdez. And of course, he took points away from the Brazilian. So what am I trying to tell you is that it looked like the uncle, Oscar Valdez's uncle, was one of the judges, and his stepfather was a referee. I mean, that's how biased it looked on Friday night on ESPN from Tucson, Arizona. I think the scores, I said, were like 116-110 or 117-110, and then 115-112 twice. So my guy, Boxy's PhD, of course, Socrates Palmer, he said he had it 115-113 or 7-5 in rounds for the champion, and Oscar Valdez, now 30-0, of course, two-time Olympian. And whether he won or not, it's been a rough week for Oscar Valdez. There's no doubt about that. A rough week for my sponsor, the World Boxing Council. Mauricio Suleiman has not been, probably hasn't had as much sleep this week as he would like. And the reason being is that about about 3 weeks ago, about a month ago, Oscar tested positive for a substance in his urine. They took a urine test. The VADA came out, the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association, of which Oscar signed the contract to do. In other words, they weren't going to do VADA. They weren't going to do any drug testing for this fight until Valdez says, hey, I want to do drug testing. So they said, okay, so we do the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association. Now, there's two of these people that do things. There's the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association, and I believe they are headquartered in Las Vegas, Nevada, by my old friend, Dr. Margaret Goodman. Of course, she was like, did she ever get married to Flip Homansky, that doctor? Anyway, bottom line is, Dr. Margaret Goodman, her and I have go back through a long, long way. So remember that first time Danny Romero was fighting somebody at the Aladdin Hotel or something like that in Las Vegas, and he was all busted up, and she kept letting him go on. And I said, you can hear me ringside. You gonna let him take a little? You gonna let him take some more? You let him take some more? Bottom line is, that was my introduction to Dr. Margaret Goodman. Of course, now she runs the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association, of course. And there's also the World Anti-Doping Association, so WADA and VADA, okay? So VADA evidently had jurisdiction over this match, okay? And according to the VADA rules, the stimulant found in Oscar Valdez's system about a month before the fight, and only tested positive once for this, was a stimulant that was banned all the way, around the clock, 24-7. You're not supposed to have this, okay? And yet, the World Anti-Doping Association says you can have this into your system up until a few days before the fight. So, there's a bit of confusion there, but VADA, the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association, I don't think they really wanted this fight to go on, but the powers that be, the athletic commission of the Indian tribe down there, of course, the WBC got together, and of course, they had their panel of experts and went back and forth, and they're talking about putting Oscar Valdez on probation and doing all kinds of weird stuff and having him be a counselor and things like that afterwards. You know, if anybody tested positive accidentally, it's Oscar Valdez. I just think that way. And of course, Hector says to me, hey, what do you know? Team Reynoso, Eddie Reynoso Sr., Eddie Reynoso Jr., of course, Reynoso being the manager, Reynoso Jr. being the trainer. Something's up with those guys. Remember last time they had a fight, it was, in controversial issues regarding Flintstone vitamins, anabolic steroids, and it was Canelo Alvarez. Of course, they said that Canelo ate some bad meat. So that's why when I get that meat from Tepa, the meat market down there in South San Francisco, the Mexican meat market, I say to myself, is the meat juiced? And the Mexican dude behind me that has no, behind the counter thinks I'm a nut. But the bottom line is, you know, people in Oscar Valdez's camp, somebody slipped him something or they gave him in a supplement or something like that, because I don't think he would take this in his, I really don't think the kid's smart, dumb enough to do something like that. I think he's too smart for that. I think he's a true guy. I think he's true to the game. You think he's true to himself. I think he's super, super true to the people that are behind him. And I really don't think that he would go and take a banned substance unless he didn't know he was taking it. Now, do we give him a pass this one time for accidentally taking it? Yes, we do, because he's my guy. Okay, anybody else, you throw him in jail. No, I'm just kidding. But the bottom line is, we do give him a pass this time, because when they did a follow-up test a few days later, it wasn't in there. Tested negative. So the bottom line is, it was this one test, one time thing. The bottom line is, we're going to have to give him a pass on that one. The WBC did. I did. And the bottom line is, Oscar Valdez, of course, got a pass from the judges as well with that 115-112 score twice. And of course, he scored. And the referee, did I mention him taking that point away? Just a bad night. Officials not looking all that good. At the end of the day, Oscar Valdez is still the WBC 130-pound champion. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Only so much oil on the ground by Tower of Power. Gas is $5 a gallon in San Francisco.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times, next to me.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied
in for so long. Oh, super fly.
My mother said it's not bragging when you tell the truth. Bottom line is she stole that line from Muhammad Ali. I wish I would have known my mother was a plagiarist. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, checking your inside look into the world of boxing. Of course, we'll talk a little MMA and hour number two. The UFC didn't roll this weekend, so it was a great weekend. And the fact that Dana White, the greatest pimp of all time, did not make any money. So it was a good weekend when Dana White doesn't make any money. Now, let's talk about Evander Holyfield. Of course, him getting dusted by Vitor Belfort. It's a bit of a sad thing, a sad ending to go, no doubt about that, at the age of 58. But I'll tell you, in 1984, we're at the Olympic training camp, and because I did my road work in the morning, I think I did my gym work as well, and I don't eat before I train. I don't eat before I train. Some guys do, but I don't, okay? So anyway, I would starve until after lunch because I would train about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be done at like 1 o'clock. So when I'm done training at 1, done training at 1:30, I go back to my locker room, back to the locker room, you know, get cleaned up, this and then you go eat. So I go to eat, and by the time I get there, breakfast is stale. Obviously, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. So I got these pancakes, and these pancakes, like, you could hear it when you dropped them on the plate. They made a noise like, bam! If you weren't holding on the plate, whoa! Anyway, the bottom line is they were hard as a rock. They were like bricks, okay? I mean, syrup wouldn't soften these things up. That's how bad they were. So I sit down. I have no idea that the guy sitting across from me is Evander Holyfield. I have no idea. I have none. I mean, I'm in over my head. I say to myself, man, this is the Olympic trials. What am I doing here? I'm only a Golden Glove champion. Whoa. Anyway, bottom line is I'm walking around Pernell Whitaker and Mark Breland and guys like that, but I don't know who Evander Holyfield is, all right? So I sit down, this and that, and I'm moaning and bitching. I bitch a little bit sometimes. Really? Anyway, so I says, you know, these pancakes, I threw the pancake down on the table. So he goes, be glad you got some food. I said, well, who the hell are you? I'm saying to myself, who the hell is this guy? Be glad you got some food. And, oh, yeah, be glad I got some. Okay, Baba. And then he went into a little, a God thing. I think he had a scripture or something like that. Went into a scripture a couple of minutes later and did a scripture, like quoted a scripture. This and so I said to myself, oh, Holyfield, holy. He's holy. He's a God guy. Okay. So I'll go along with that. So anyway, we're talking. And, you know, he tells me that he's from Georgia and this and that. And he's from his mother's this and his mother's that. And he's, you know, he's like me. Also mama's boy. And his mama was everything to him. There's no doubt about it. So we end up, I think he would go our different ways. And of course, he doesn't win the Olympic gold medal. He gets a bronze medal when he gets disqualified against Kevin Barry, in the 84 Olympics. But, you know, he was a stellar champion. There's no doubt about it, but he couldn't talk. He didn't do interviews well. So we're at the Carl the Truth Williams fight in Atlantic City with Mike Tyson. I think we were at the Sugar Ray Robinson party the night before. I think we were. And I said to him, I said, V, you know, I'm doing this thing with DK. DK, King Vision. King Vision. I did the TV for King Vision and Don King. And I said, I'm doing this DK stuff tomorrow night. I said, you know, and I love interviewing you, man, but every time I interview you, V, that's why I got to call him V, is that, they call other people call him Vander. I call him V. Anyway, is that you give me these one-word responses. In other words, like, I got like 19 questions for you, and I get 19 one-word responses. I said, man, I said, if you want to go big, you know, go mainstream and get a fight with Mike Tyson, you have to talk it up a little bit. And he says to me, you wouldn't believe this. I said, what? He goes, I've been working with a voice coach. A voice coach, he gives. I'll be working with a voice coach. He goes, you might see things a little bit differently tonight. And Evander Holyfield, if you went out there, Mike Tyson just wiped out Carl the Truth Williams in a minute and 93 seconds. Took him 2 seconds longer to make a believer out of Carl the Truth Williams than it did to make a liar out of Michael Spinks. Of course, he destroyed Michael Spinks in 91 seconds. He destroyed Carl the Truth Williams in 93 seconds. So he destroys Carl the Truth Williams. Evander Holyfield goes up there and gives a speech of his life. People are telling me, did you hear Holyfield? Did you hear Holyfield? I mean, so Ed Schuyler from the AP, some of those Pat Putnam from Sports Illustrated, all these old-time boxing writers, they never heard him talk before, okay? Did you hear him? Did you hear him? Jack, did you hear him? Yeah, I heard him. Well, I know the guy, he got a vocal coach. He got a vocal coach. In fact, that I sort of kicked him in the ass a little bit beforehand. In other words, if you're going to go up here on the dice, don't go up there and like, I'm a Vander. I'm a Vander. Yes, I'm a tough guy. Yeah, Mike's a good guy. I'll beat Mike. No. You've got to be able to enunciate. You've got to be able to expand on what you're trying to say vocally. In other words, to sell it to the public. You have to sell yourself to the public. If you want to fight Mike Tyson, you've got to start selling yourself to the public. So Holyfield went out there and did the speech of his life. There was no doubt about it. And, you know, everything since up to the point where the residual effects of boxing began to take their effects on Evander Holyfield, much like did Muhammad Ali. Look at Muhammad Ali. When he fought Ernie Shavers, before he fought Ernie Shavers, They measured his speech. And after he farted in his shavers, his speech is slowed by 20%. 22% to be exact, according to these speech experts. So you see it with Holyfield. Holyfield started to fall apart. I guess he started to fall apart after the second Tyson fight. In other words, I think he peaked mentally and physically. I mean, come on, man. You beat Mike Tyson not only once, you beat him twice. The second time, you just destroyed the dude. I mean, you beat him up so bad, he should have been arrested for domestic violence in Las Vegas by the Metropolitan Police Department. But the end of the night, Tyson, of course, bit his ear, went through all kinds of crazy stuff. They wanted to set up that third fight. That's why Evander Holyfield took this little thing with Vitor Belfort, is that he figured I could set up the third fight with Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson. Well, guess what? That wasn't going to happen. And based on what Mike Tyson looked like last year against Roy Jones, when Mike was smoking weed before he went in the ring and smoking weed after he came out of the ring, okay, Mike was like stoned. Mike would have destroyed Evander Holyfield. It would have been something, I mean, Evander Holyfield, you think he got destroyed last night? No, no, no. Last night was like a gift, a little bit of a welfare check. Had you got in the ring with Mike Tyson, you might not be breathing the next day. Now, speaking of a guy that is breathing, of course, talk about the undefeated world champion. Is he 17-0 now or 16-0? I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez. Of course, originally out of Honduras. His people come to us from Honduras. He's coming to us from Brooklyn, New York, and he is the world lightweight champion, 135 pounds. But there's one guy he calls, let me get this damn camera out of the way. There's one guy he calls the email champion. Talk about Devin Haney from San Francisco, California. Of course, Devin Haney's got the WBC title. I thought Ryan Garcia had a piece of the WBC title as well. But the bottom line is, Devin Haney is undefeated, 26-0. And the last two guys he fought Jorge Linares last time out. And Linares rocked him in the 12th round. Or in the 11th round, when he rocked him in one of those final rounds there. And Linares is like so old, he's older than Cuddy. I kid you not, he's old, like George Washington old as far as fighters are concerned. So Linares rocks Haney a little bit, and then Haney before that went 12 rounds with Yuri Gamboa. Of course, Gamboa had been destroyed by, I think, Crawford. Didn't Crawford destroy him and knock him down four or five times? And, you know, and this guy comes back and can do nothing. Haney can do nothing against Gamboa, basically, except win a 12-round decision. So now Haney is his email champion, the guy from San Francisco, California, city by the bay, him and his father. They call him the email champion. They call him this, they call him that. But the bottom line is he can't fight a little bit. Okay, so there really is. And he does have the WBC title, so Teofimo is not undisputed at 135 pounds. So Lopez says he wants to leave now after he fights George Kambosos in October. He wants to go move. The next month, he wants to fight Josh Taylor. The very next month, Josh Taylor is a 140-pound champion that comes to us from the United Kingdom. Okay, Taylor can fight. There's no doubt about it. He's coming off his best win of his career. Do I think that he and Teofimo match up well? I think Teofimo's got work to do at 135. He said he doesn't want to fight Lomachenko again. Well, Lomachenko was a long-time champion. I mean, and you beat him. There's no doubt about it. And, of course, Lomachenko thought he was going to win, so he didn't put a rematch clause in the contract. So I understand that he sort of disrespected you, didn't think much of you, Teofimo, when he signed that contract. But that's, you know, if you really want to be undisputed, you got to go back and slap him around one more time. You got to make it conclusive. You got to convince me. You got to convince the boxing masters. You got to convince the pundits that you really are the real deal. So you got to take care of Devin Haney, and you got to go back probably and rematch Vasily Lomachenko at 135 pounds before you move up to 140 pounds. Because, you know, you talk a good game, kid, and I thought you were going to be the next coming of boxing. I really did. I thought you talk. I'm here to make boxing proud again. This and that. Yeah. Well, you know. Not so much, man. Not so much when you don't want to clean things up at 135. I mean, 135 is the premier division right now. It's got all the fighters. It's got Devin Haney. It's got Ryan Garcia. And think what you want about Ryan, whether it is his anxiety attacks or his depression or anything like that bothers you, or you think that he can't rise to the top. I think he's the unsung hero here, of course. I've been wrong before, but I think he's the guy. I think he's the guy who's going to surprise everybody. I think he's got the height. I think he's got the reach. I think he's got the boxing knowledge, and I think he's got the power to take out anybody at 135 pounds. And it includes the defending champion, Teofimo Lopez. Of course, Lopez and Kambosos, that's going to be on pay-per-view. That fight last night was on pay-per-view. Did you buy that? Because I called you a mark earlier, now I'll call you a sucker. I mean, come on, man. You didn't really buy that, did you? I mean, you didn't really buy that. Come on, did you? I mean, you watch it on YouTube afterwards. You go to one of those VIP.com sports, a VIP sports, something like that. Or, you know, one of those trick websites. They show you all the different fights and this and that for free. From Europe and this and that, where it's not illegal to do that kind of stuff. Okay, so, but the bottom line is, you bought the fight? I hope you did, like, you know, the boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. He said he watched the fight out his window into the window of the neighbor. That's what he didn't pay for it himself. He sort of watched it through the window. In other words, he's watching the fight, but he's not paying for it. That's what he's trying to tell you. So you should have watched that fight and not paid for it. Because if you got paid, if you paid $50 for that to watch David Haye fight his best friend, why don't you pay $50 to watch me fight my girlfriend? I mean, that's basically where it went down. Give me $50 to fight my girlfriend. She'd probably whoop me up, but I'm just trying to tell you. I mean, that's basically what it boiled down to. David Haye was fighting his friend, his best friend, on TV and getting paid for it. And you paid him to do that. So if you were part of the con last night, what can I say? Ringley Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Boxing. That's what this is called. Ringley Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Boxing. Now, I'm not against the Jake Pauls and the Paul brothers, this and that. I mean, you know, and the reason why I say that is they've been taught boxing's fundamentals. 1-2s, they're not going to be super guys. They're not going to throw 5-6 punch combinations like Hector Martinez. They're not going to be defensive whizzes and that kind of thing. It's not going to be that way, okay? They're going to be 1-2, good jabs, good right hands, this and that, no hooks, occasional uppercut here and there, but nothing fancy. They've been taught the basics, okay? And the basics got Vitor Belfort passed into ex-world champion last night and, of course, a 1984 Olympic bronze medalist. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that the Paul brothers, Jake Paul especially, I'm not too excited over him, but I'll go back to this. He sold 14,000 seats. I almost made a mistake there. He sold 14,000 seats. Got too close to the microphone there. Okay. 14,000 seats. Holy cow, man. Who can sell 14,000 seats? Oscar can't. And speaking of Oscar, you know, they were going to do this fight in California between Vitor Belfort and Evander Holyfield. Originally, it was Oscar De La Hoya and Vitor Belfort at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. Of course, that's the place that Shane Mosley clocked, beat up on Oscar, I think, yeah, the first time. They had a big party there, without a doubt. Everybody showed up. The Sopranos were there. Everybody was at that party. Anyway, back to De La Hoya. If he'd have been fighting that dude last night, he'd have got hurt. I mean, hurt real bad. And of course, they wouldn't license Evander Holyfield in California. Evander came to California and they asked him to do a medical exam and they realized, man, this guy's like way out there. We can't have him fighting here. So they wouldn't put the fight on here. And 7 days before the fight, they transferred it to the Hard Rock Casino in Florida where that Governor Ron DeSantis does, excuse me, but he don't care about nothing. No mask mandates. People are dying. 1,500 people a day are dying still of COVID in the United States, and people don't believe in masks, and they don't believe in vaccines yet. And speaking of vaccines, I guess I'll go to this. Wrap this up after the break, Cuddy. I guess I'll go to this vaccine story before I go to the break here. A friend of mine tested positive for the COVID. Okay, went in the hospital, was on oxygen, didn't go to a ventilator or anything like that, but he was in bad shape, okay? And then they found out that he was a diabetic. No surprise there if you look at him, okay? But at the end of the day, I got to say this. This is what killed me, is that he refused to take the vaccine because he listened to stuff on YouTube. He got his news from YouTube. He got his medical advice from YouTube, okay? So he gets his medical advice from YouTube. He tests positive for the virus. He goes in the hospital. He almost dies. He gets out. And now you know what he's telling me? He's not taking his doctor's advice as much as he is taking the advice of people that had COVID. Petey, I'm listening to people that had COVID on YouTube. You know, my doctor didn't have COVID, but they did. Blows my mind. Ignorance has no boundaries. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Check out the WBC's interactive website. Lots of stuff there at WBCboxing.com. Some news out over the weekend. I sort of knew this, but Shane Mosley bet $1 million on himself against when he fought Canelo Alvarez. Canelo was like 21 years old back in the day, but his wife, Jen Mosley, what a piece of work she was. And when I say work, I mean with an S. In other words, think of the word S. Don't think of work, think S. Anyway, let me tell you. Jen Mosley, she marries Shane Mosley, and Shane, the first fight she has with him, he loses. Why is that? Because she negotiated a deal with Vernon Forrest instead of negotiating a deal with Oscar De La Hoya. They were going to do the rematch with De La Hoya. He was going to get like $5.5 million, but instead she wouldn't do that because De La Hoya was going to get $8 million. In other words, he was going to make 5.5. De La Hoya was going to make 8. They probably could have shrunk that a little bit closer, but she didn't want to negotiate about it. Okay, so she went off and fought Vernon Forrest for like $1.5 million and got knocked out. Okay, that was Gin Mosley. Okay, and this is the same Gin Mosley. I remember we were throwing a party. It was a Shane Mosley victory party. I think after he beat De La Hoya the second time, she was at the door talking smack. Didn't want to let me in. Said I was this, I was that. Accusing me of being a gadfly and a few other things. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, she was the worst thing that ever happened to him. The worst thing that ever happened to him. He got hooked up with her. He lost a fight he wasn't supposed to lose. I mean, Vernon Forrest was a 1992 Olympian. He was undefeated at the time, 32-0. I think there was no doubt about the draw. I think he was a good fighter, and I mean, as a former Olympian, so Vernon Forrest was no pushover. But the bottom line is, you don't take a fight with Forrest when you got a fight with a guy that you've already beaten and give you $7 million to do it. So she blew that. She blew his entire career, and she got him to bet $1 million against him on himself to fight Canelo Alvarez. We only made $600,000 for the fight. So if you figure after the $600,000, maybe he got $250 after taxes and all his managers and this and that. So he got $250, had to pay, make up $750,000 to make the bet good. At the end of the day, Shane's a loser, so is his wife. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, you're inside looking to the world of boxing and a little bit MMA. Of course, 37, make that 38 plus years now of being on top. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios here in San Francisco, California. Hour number two, we take it to the Ukraine and bring in boxing extraordinaire. I'm talking about Mr. Trainer himself, Mr. Eddie Croft of B Street Boxing in San Mateo, California. That and more after the news on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.